Orioles lose 3-2 yesterday. Back in action tonight against the Guardians. Baltimore baseball tonight coming up in a little under 2 hours. That's Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken live from Pickles. And let's talk some Orioles now with our friend Rita Hubbard, who joins us every Tuesday. And Rita, good afternoon. Thank you as always for joining us. Let's start here. How was your trip to Houston?
Well, good. Houston is a cool city. I really like it. The Astros ballpark is... it's okay, but I don't know if it's because it has, like, that retractable roof, that enclosed, part. Something about the aura there is just not the same. And I don't know if that means that because they've won, multiple championships in recent years or whatever. But I think I tweeted, like, it was a Sunday service in there. It's kind of quiet. And so... I'm just kind of used to – I understand that baseball is not football, so it's not like I was expecting rowdiness. I just think I was expecting more, like, crowd, just general crowd noise. And it was just eerily quiet in there, to the point where, like, my girlfriend that came with us, she's not a fan of either team, but she likes baseball. She's like, yeah, this is different. I didn't like it. It was just very, like, stiff. And I was like, all right, so I'm not being biased here. She's like, no. And I'm like, okay, so – got it off my list. I heard it was a nice stadium. At the time when I wanted to do the trip, I thought that the Astros would be better than they are. But even though they're not better than they are, I mean, they still found a way to sweep the Orioles. So I guess, they showed me. I enjoyed my trip, though, nonetheless.
Well, O's bats have been quiet over the last three. They've lost four straight. Is this just a blip on the radar, Rita, or are you concerned moving forward?
I've always been concerned. It is a blip on the radar. I want to be clear that I think when you look at the schedule and they only have one day off, you do have to take into account of maybe some fatigue has set in, And, sometimes guys want to get back into their beds, and that could have been a part of it, too. This is not the first, the second, third time that we've seen the bats be quiet. The problem is, and I'm not talking about last night, because I think that Povich did as much as he could, right, when they, before they got him out at the end of, before the sixth inning. But I think that the problem in the other past is the confidence that we had with this pitching staff. And now I think the reality is starting to set in that not only are the Orioles inconsistent with how they score runs. Yes, I know what the metrics say in terms of them like being a top scoring team, but if you watch them every night, you know that these are the games that they have quite regularly, and it is quite concerning. And then now there's another aspect of the pitching now is not potentially going to be able to get you out of these binds, because we saw Rodriguez and we saw Burns kind of get touched up this weekend. So do I think it's a blip? Yes, because I think that it's almost, all-star break and guys are probably tired. It's getting hot outside. But also I think that this is a consistent concern that many of us have, and we should be more concerned with the pitching staff not being as dominant as we thought that they would be due to injury.
We're talking to Rita Hubbard. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Last year at the deadline, they went and got Fuji and Jack Flaherty. Neither worked out. Neither arguably should have been on the postseason roster, and that's a miss when you're making moves at the deadline. Do you feel confident that the Orioles will make bigger moves this year by the deadline?
They have to. Do you want to compete for a World Series? And if the answer is yes, then you have to. The answer is you got to. It ain't even like, do you think? It is who's going to be the person that you're going to trade for. I think that's the case. But back to Flaherty. Does anybody get really annoyed by the fact that he's doing so well?
Oh, yeah. Like, yes, like, big time.
What was the issue here? This was a team. This team won 101 games, yeah. And you just did not want to be a participant in that. It's so such weird behavior. But anyway, sorry, I had to get that.
No, you're absolutely right. It's bizarre that he's now back to the guy he was a couple years ago or 3 years ago in St. Louis.
Just very odd, right? That like he bombed really badly. here. And we all laughed at him and that contract, but obviously it's worked out for everybody, and it's just weird. Anyway, so they have no choice. The answer is they have no choice, because I know you don't think that you can go into a postseason with Burns, Rodriguez, who has, while Rodriguez, as good as he's been, he's also been as bad as he's been at times. Kramer, who I've always felt like Kramer is just, he's there, right? He's a guy. And then you got, you know, the Suarez's of the group, you know, the K. Povich's of the group, who is young, and then the Cole Irvin's of the group, who essentially is a bullpen arm, which had no choice but to make a starter. So if the Orioles want to be serious about contention, if they want to take Burns's one-year rental seriously, they're going to have to trade for a pitcher. They have no choice at this point.
Well, Vrita, let me ask you this, and let's, you put yourself in Mike Elias's shoes. To what length would you do it? I mean, is anyone untouchable for you in terms of farm system? Like, would you trade a Jackson, a Kobe Mayo, a Kerstad, etc.?
It's funny because I tweeted last night that I believe that Kerstad is up now because I think he's trade bait. I think they are kind of putting him on display a little bit just so other teams can kind of get a glimpse of him on a major league level and, you know, to see if he's worth it. And for the most part, I think that they, if I had to guess, guys, they have guys that they are willing to part with. Guys like Kyle Stowers, guys like a Heston Kerstad, who, I mean, everybody knows that I am a big Kerstad person. So while that I would be not happy about it, I just feel like, you know, they feel partially like he's a guy that they can potentially find someone to do something with. The Mayo and Kobe, I go back and forth on who I think that they prioritize, but one of those got to go too, I think, for them. You know, I wonder if Basalo is a guy that they just would like, would even entertain. But the fact remains that you do have all of these prospects, and you do need to figure out what it is that you want to do to make your team better and to what degree, right? Remember how we talked earlier in the year about Lizardo, but Lizardo had, like, what, 3 years or something remaining?
Yeah, so, and now he's hurt,
Right. Well, but prior to that, right, the conversation was, well, you don't want to go after a Lizardo because they're going to ask for too much because he has too many years on the contract. Well, now you're kind of in a desperate situation, right? And obviously Lizardo is not on that conversation, but depending on who else is available, what is it that you're willing to give up? Like, how important is this, is updating this pitching staff to you at this moment? Or do you just say, but we got three arms that we trust that'll be 20-25 starters, and so we're not going to give up but so much? So I think that that's going to be the dynamic here. I mean, do you really feel like this is the win it all or bust year, or do you feel like you still need to be, I guess, responsible, quote unquote, when in making a trade?
Rita, before I let you go, when are you and Glenn back?
Tonight. Ooh. We're back tonight. We're gonna talk more about the Big Three coming up this weekend. Arthur Millette is also going to join us. Lisa Leslie is going to join us.
Wow!
So yeah, should be good. We'll be having a good time this evening.
Starting at 6:30.
Yes, sir.
All right, Rita. Thanks as always. We will chat next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yep.